generally recognize this Sunday as Palm Sunday and this week as the week that was leading into Jesus entering into the city to celebrate the Passover. And I don't believe that anybody there at that time really recognized that he was the real Passover lamb, the lamb that God provided, the lamb that the prophets spoke of. And this week, leading into Easter Sunday, if the Lord tarry, a week from today, I was reflecting on and really became really overwhelmed thinking about just some of the many things that Jesus did in just 3 years, approximately 3 years that he was here on earth, and all that he did, all that he accomplished. And there's way too many to spend the next 10 minutes on, but we'll touch on a few perhaps. I thought of, and this is in no particular order whatsoever, I sort of thought of Jesus being anointed by Mary and him saying in Matthew 26:12, "For in that she had poured out this ointment on my body, she did this for my burial." She knew. And then I was thinking about a little comparison between Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem and so many people, throngs of people, believing that he was the Messiah, crying out, "Hosanna." And that word Hosanna means, "Oh, save. Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." And I contrasted that in my own mind with Revelation 7, 9, and 10, "which shall be. And after this, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation, Hosanna, to our Lord which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb." I thought about in John, the Gospel of John, where Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." I thought of Jesus' ministry of hope to the poor and the destitute and bringing salvation to all who would simply just believe. His teachings in the synagogues. He taught everywhere. He taught in the streets. He taught in the byways. He taught on the hillsides. He taught to thousands of people at a time. But then he also taught one-on-one. I thought of the 40 parables that he spoke and how that number 40 we recognize being a number associated with completion and perfection. I thought of the many miracles of healings he performed, whether they be a healing of body, of spirit, of mind. I thought of the 37 Old Testament prophecies that he fulfilled, and that 37, that number having to do with the Word of God. He is the Word of God. I thought of the Passover feast in the upper room, and I reflected on Tammy Ireland's presentation of the Seder meal and all the symbolism that it meant. Yet those people don't understand. I thought of Jesus' washing of the disciples' feet in his final act as a humble servant. I thought of Jesus' prayer to the Father to send the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, to us, to indwell in us, and to lead us into all truth. I thought of Jesus' commandment to love one another. Which is the greatest of these? Love one another. I thought of Jesus foretelling of his going to the Father to be seated at the right hand in glory. I thought about two entire chapters in Matthew 24 and 25, which we consider to be the Mount Olivet Discourse. How marvelous. All those chapters, it's entirely in red. These were Jesus' words. I thought of Jesus foretelling of his betrayal and the manner of his death. But he said, "But after I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee." I thought of Jesus and his prayer in the garden and that he denied his own will, but always subjected his will to the Father. Not my will, but thine. I thought of his betrayal at the hands of Judas, whom he himself had selected for that very purpose. I thought of the 7 unfair trials that he endured after he was arrested. That night, beginning with the Pharisee Annas, then Caiaphas, the high priest, then he was taken over to the assembly of the Sanhedrin, then he was taken to Pilate, then back to Herod, then to Pilate again, and finally to the Roman soldiers. They all judged him, but there was no fault in him. Although he could have summoned 10,000 angels, just one of which would have just destroyed them all. But he said, no, I come to do my Father's will. For the joy that was set before him, which is you and me, you're his joy. You're the joy that was set before him. I thought of Jesus saving of the thief on the cross, demonstrating just how simple salvation is. Just believe. And then how he charged the Apostle John with the care of his mother, the disciple whom Jesus loved, the disciple whom leaned upon Jesus' breast that night. And then finally, Jesus giving up the ghost and commending his spirit unto the Father. There were so many more. Without Jesus fulfilling all the prophecies written of him, without his suffering, without his death, we would still be dead in our sins, wouldn't we? We would have no hope for salvation. We would have no chance of ever attaining. The cross had to come before the resurrection. A lot of people don't like to hear that, but that's what was needed. That cross was meant for you and me. Jesus needed to suffer and taste death for all mankind so that he would be raised up by the Father, glorified together with him, seated at his right hand, and so we could partake in that same glory. No other man could do that. No other man will be able to do that. No one could have done what Jesus did. No one. And because Jesus suffered and died, we have been reconciled to God. We are no longer strangers. We are no longer sinners. Some people say, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. No, you're not. You're not a sinner. You're a child of God. And now we are raised together with him in newness of life for all eternity. Isn't that marvelous? Praise his name forever. I pray that we hold these and everything that Jesus did in remembrance, not just today, but always, every day, every morning when you wake up. Think of who you are and how you came to be who you are and who made it possible. And may I pray that this be the most precious, wonderful, heartfelt, loving Easter season you could ever enjoy. But more than anything, don't you pray that he come today? I always close by saying, may he come today, because that's really what's on my mind all the time. He could come at any moment. Maybe just today. Maybe we won't even get to celebrate Easter. Well, praise his name. This is my favorite time of the year, time to reflect on everything that Jesus has done, everything that he's still doing, everything that he is. He's our precious bridegroom, soon coming. God bless you this morning.